Power Hour Nation. Today, I'm your honored host, Daniel Brigman, and today is a very special anniversary. Very special indeed. You know, there's anniversaries like, you know, your child's 1 year old, anniversary of their birth, or, you know, anniversary of your marriage, 50th wedding anniversary, what have you, anniversary of D-Day or Pearl Harbor. And then there's days that stand out throughout eternity, throughout the millennium. Today is one of those days, really. John Adams, the second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. Solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. That's what John Adams, our
the
second
deist
president,
is that.
Yeah, the quote-unquote deist, or atheist, or said about this day.
Yeah,
it was this day, not July 4th. I guess July 4th, they finalized it, and then the final signatures came. Well, actually, not the final signatures. They were later, but it turned into July 4th. But John Adams, they left. They agreed July 2nd. This day, in the history of the world, there is no day quite like this. The fulfillment of the promise on America, the promise on Israel, the promise of every preacher, the promise of every effort that Samuel Adams did, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson's fantastic pen, the great mind of Thomas Jefferson, the great mind of the American continent, the American ideal, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Government's sole purpose is to protect and uphold these rights. And whenever any institution becomes contrary to this, it is not only the right, but the duty of every person, of every citizen, certainly every American, to throw those chains off. July 2nd, 1776. Why do we have fireworks? Because John Adams said we should have
fireworks.
That's right.
He did say that. He put that in his quote.
This is a very, very important day. I hope, I pray that you can share this broadcast with your loved ones today, that you can, especially with your children, especially teenage, impressionable. The young generation, they love freedom if they're given freedom. They love this information, who they are, the power, America, all these things. This is your inheritance. This is your inheritance. And the American question, political question, is which is greater, your life or freedom? Well, the answer is freedom, of course. And so our hats, our hearts, our prayers ascend to the throne of heaven today in gratitude, not only for what was accomplished, but for the sacrifice of those who helped accomplish it. Fantastic. William Federer will be here, who is, if he's not the preeminent historian on this kind of period and this time subject, he's certainly one of the best. One of the best I've ever heard, and can certainly tell a story.
He can spin a story.
Uncle Kevin will be here. We're going to go over the news for about 30 minutes, and William Federal will be here for an hour and a half. He will tell you, explain a lot better than I can, July 2nd, everything that surrounds. If you have any specific questions about this time or anything that you'd like to know, you've always wondered but never knew who to ask, William Federal is a guy to ask. So he'll be here. The number in the studio, 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. 2944 844-769-2944. Write that down. Have that. You can call anytime. You know, Catherine keeps telling me to say that number. You can call in anytime you want. Any questions, we'll get you in as soon as we can. So, welcome, Uncle Kevin.
It's great to be here.
Yes.
You forgot our favorite, George Whitfield.
Well, I'm sure we'll get into that with George Whitfield was one of the preachers of the Great Reformation. And
without him, I don't know if there'd be a revolution.
Even some of the founding fathers said
that.
At least not at that time.
Right, exactly.
You know, American Revolution. Look, you can talk about the Masons. You can talk about conspiracies. You can talk about separating from Britain. I've heard all those. I've read most of them, at least enough to be familiar with them. Is there validity? Yes, there's probably some validity to all of them. In the end, I promise you, with all my being, a miracle happened on this country, and God used whatever happened and the faith and the belief of the people here in America to create something magical, something yeah. almost virtually unprecedented in this country. And Masons and conspirators and secret societies, they don't matter. Not what happened in this country. And a miracle.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The preachers back in those days would preach their sermon, take off their robes, go grab their musket, and go shoot redcoats.
Right. That's how.
That's how basically it happened.
That's how.
A lot of them.
That's what religious, to a lot of them.
Yeah.
That's what religious fervor meant. Religion meant freedom.
Freedom. Absolutely.
Religion meant freedom. George Whitefield had the audacity to say that, you know, we don't need a king as an intermediary between God.
Right.
God's
exactly.
intimately concerned about you. God yeah. is intimately concerned about you, your life, your destiny, and the Power Hour. We've committed to that. We've mm-hmm. committed to this ideal. We have seen that this information and these concepts are completely lacking in schools, completely lacking in our society. It is a crime. It is sinful. It is disgusting. It is the biggest indictment on the public education system, government school system, that our children aren't as well-versed in any of this as I am. We probably on this show talk about this kind of thing more than almost any show of yeah. our size. I don't listen to every show, but, you know, more than most shows out there, certainly, mm-hmm. Of this size, certainly, maybe all of them. I don't know. This is one of the things that's unique. One of the last things Joyce told me, this is what makes you different. This is your thing. She had certain things, you know, mm-hmm. about the veterans or what have you, and we want to bring all that in. But this is my thing. My thing is you are endowed by your creator. I don't want you to ever forget it. I want you to know it. I want you to be written on your heart. I want you to be written on your, you know, kind of like the Jews. They put the scrolls of the law in front of them. It was to be in front of their eyes, it was right. to be on their house, it was to be on their door. This idea, this concept, this miracle, this inheritance should be as important to you as the life of your children, because it's worth more than the life of your children.
Yeah. And George had to leave Europe because of his thoughts.
Yes. Let's get to, we'll do some news, and
okay.
then William Federer will be fantastic to have him on, so let's get straight to the news. You know what's going on in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the riot back and forth.
They need that here. Said that yesterday.
Yes.
Bring it here.
Well, Britain is now warning China of serious consequences if Hong Kong rights are not honored. So part of the agreement when Britain turned Hong Kong back over to China basically was that Hong Kong was going to be, you know, their rights were going to be upheld and, you know, kind of not.
Same, keep it the same.
Pretty much the similar, keep the Western culture,
right.
keep their rights itself, autonomy.
Right.
And so now they're, you know, people are blowing hard about sanctions, possible sanctions on China. Do you think China cares anything about
care.
Britain's sanctions?
No, they don't give it care a lick. They only care about force.
Yeah, well, they certainly don't care about Britain. I mean, they
no.
might. Now, if America said, you know what, we're not going to buy any of your more cheap Chinese crap, well, that may make them stand up. But I don't think we'd do that over Hong Kong.
No.
Anyway, so this is what's going on. This may get more interesting before it gets...
I love their spirit over there. 2 million people in the streets protesting.
Wow.
That's amazing. We need that here. 2 million people go to Washington.
European Parliament, speaking of discord, European Parliament opens amid protest and discord. The anti-EU protest by UK's Brexit Party and demonstration by Catalan nationalists whose MEPs are barred. Catalan meaning Spain, in Spain. So, to Spain and mm-hmm. Britain, their parliament is opening with huge protests. If you know anything about Catalonia, it's kind of a separate, or was a separate country at one time, so they're going back and forth. I think it's recently, within the last 100 years, I see it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember. The Spanish leader It's kind of like what China wants to do with Hong Kong. You know, they want to pull mm-hmm. Hong Kong back into the fold. Well, that's what they did with Catalonia in Spain.
You're talking about Ponce de Leon?
No. This is in the last 100 years, probably in a lifetime, not even 100 years. There's unrest everywhere.
It's everywhere. Everywhere.
Ponce de Leon came to America.
I was wondering when you was going to get it.
I was trying to ignore it, but I couldn't just ignore it. People are probably listening to Ponce de Leon. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that Florida?
It was. He's looking for the Fountain of Youth, I think. Never found it.
A headmistress in a British school suspends two 10-year-olds for, just take a guess. Take a wild guess. Don't spend a lot of time
dressing up as girls.
No, for being good question, for being homophobic.
Oh, okay. On the other side of the
the head teacher, Susan Pappas, who obliged school children to participate in Gay Pride Parade last year, told the two children that they are a disappointment to the school. Okay, why were they a disappointment? Because they didn't want to participate in the LGBT lesson. We don't want to hear this LGBT lesson. So you're a disappointment, you're a homophobe, and you're suspended.
Wow. Yeah. Take them kids out of school.
What reason are we up to? 1,057?
To take
there you go, ladies
school.
And gentlemen. 1,057. We've given you 1,057 reasons not to be going to school. Border crossing shut down after a large and unruly group forms in Mexico. I am so sick of hearing about this
Me
border
too.
Situation. Why hasn't Trump done something?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, why hasn't he?
I don't know.
Why hasn't he?
I don't know. He won't answer my phone.
Is your watch winding down?
No.
Not about the immigration?
Yeah, look, he had to be on, go overseas and take care of business over there. You know.
Overseas? What are you talking about overseas? We got people, we got invaders pouring in our border. You're talking about overseas?
Mm-hmm.
God almighty.
I ain't worried.
Okay. Well, I'm worried. People are flooding in, Congolese with God only knows what they have, what disease.
At least we ain't by the border. I might be a little bit worrier if I was down by the border.
Well, that's still America. I mean, if I live by the border, I don't know what I'd probably move. I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah, it's
like a lot of people have. What has stopped him from just bringing soldiers on the border and say, you know what, that's it.
Yeah,
the border's
closed. That's my question, too.
The border's closed.
Yeah, that's my question. Border's closed.
That's
absolutely.
It. It wouldn't take that many soldiers.
It wouldn't take that many
2,200
soldiers.
Miles.
I agree. 100% with you. I'm with you.
Okay. A couple, what would you say? A couple.
Constantina wires. A couple dogs.
So probably six soldiers every mile. Probably not even. Six soldiers every mile that rotate.
Mm-hmm.
So every mile, six soldiers and some dogs. And so you're talking about 15,000 troops. And we got them, we probably got them sitting in, they're probably doing nothing. They're on R&R probably in Japan right now.
There's 800, let's see.
Bases?
Bases around about bases? The world. Yeah, 800 bases around the world. You can't steal a few?
Yeah, 1,000 from, or 100 from each one.
Each
20
one.
From each one.
I'd say close all of them down, that's what I say. 99.9% of them, we don't need them.
This is interesting. It's frustrating to me.
Yeah, it's frustrating to me too. I'm frustrated. Yes.
Okay, let's move on for now. The second Florida city pays hackers. Have you heard this story?
Yes,
hackers,
I have.
You know, these cities are becoming quote unquote smart.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote smart means they're susceptible.
Right.
So.
And that's what I was telling you about. There was a theory out there about those planes that went down that they were they're ransomware. They were hacked into.
You talking about the ones in Malaysia? Or
no, the ones in the United States. You know, the 737.
The ones recently.
Yeah, the ones
recently. Okay,
recently.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know,
okay.
They got compute software problems.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
The Boeing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Supposedly it's ransomware.
So they said, no more, we're going to cancel all these flights. We're not going to get cancel all these planes.
Yeah, supposedly they're rewriting the software, right, as we speak.
For many years, security experts have been warning that everything operated wirelessly has the potential to be hacked, especially 5G. Well, there you go, including these smart cities. And these cities are forced to pay.
Yeah, they have to.
They're forced to pay. Their whole city, you know, if they say, give us $500,000, it'll cost them $5 million to overdo their damage, you know, to overcome the damage.
Mm-hmm. All it takes is one employee to slip something in there.
This is a very important story, and from my perspective, I'm gonna read it, and I'm gonna get your opinion, and I'll tell you why I think it's so important. And you haven't heard this story, so you're kind of Hollywood soap superstar claims victim of pedophilia, molested while working for Disney as a child. Hollywood actress Bella Thorne alleges she was a victim of pedophilia during her time at Disney as an actress. She goes on. She's pretty, you know.
Was it the Mickey Mouse Club?
Well, some with Disney. I'm trying to get her quote here. Anyway, she goes on. I can't find it in the story, but anyway, she says this was happening to me habitually, continually, everybody knew about it and did nothing.
Did nothing. Yeah, I agree.
Did nothing. Okay, your initial reaction to that story?
Not surprised. Not surprised one bit. That goes way back.
Okay, here's my take on this and why this is so important.
Okay.
You'll probably agree with me, but for the audience. We've had lots of guests come on here. We've had lots of perspective on the situation, what's going on in the world. We've said, they've said, we've speculated that pedophiles are running the world or trying to run the world. They're taking over the throes of government. They're getting in everywhere. They're getting in media. We saw subliminal messages all throughout Disney films, subliminal messages on kids' movies. We've seen that, and people have poo-pooed this. Well, this was just some random, art worker that just was wanted to do something funny. You know, we've heard all these excuses. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. From my research, from the guests that we've had on and other things and other people I've talked to, off air, I'm not going to really get into. Listen, this is rampant. This is rampant. Hollywood,
out of control.
Hollywood is a cesspool of Luciferianism and pedophilia.
Mm-hmm.
This and drugs. They go hand in hand. They use that to help manipulate people and be controlled.
Yep.
This actress, I commend her for coming out. I don't know why. Who knows why people come out with certain things. I think it's very important that she did. She's confirming everything we believe. In the last 2 years, since Donald Trump, his election, his candidacy, one thing has done, it's shown light on the cockroaches.
He's arrested a lot of pedophilia.
Well, no, I mean, just his mere presence is creating a contrast to so many things. It automatically shows light on what's going on. This is another example time in our history. This is a time, a window in our history, where we're seeing what is actually going on. We're going to be giving a choice. Terry Beatley was on about the abortion doctor, mm-hmm. about all the lies to get abortion even legalized in this country.
Well, that was a story, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Do you see the, when Daniel Estulin, we talk, our whole world's controlled. We ask him about control. Well, our whole world's controlled emotionally, physically, spiritually. Yep. It's controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see these stories like this make you see it. That's why it's a very important story to me. Everything that you've suspected about this, everything you thought about this, this story confirms it and just makes the suspicion grow. That's why, to me, it's a very important story.
Oh, I agree 100%. Yeah. And the Mickey Mouse Club is a perfect example of it. You heard that all through it, that they were violating those kids.
Trump's reelection campaign says it has raised $105 million in the second quarter, just the last 3 months, $105 million. He's going to get elected unless, I don't know what. He's going to get elected. Jury to resume deliberations in U.S. Navy SEALs war crimes trial. The soldier, what's his name? Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher. He's accused of killing a wounded teenager fighter who was brought in. He supposedly made a homemade knife and stabbed I don't know if he's an ISIS fighter. He was an enemy of
I heard him. Trump might pardon him. I hope so.
Well, here's what would, I don't like this at all.
No.
But you're in war. Here's again what I don't like. He did 8 tours of duty.
Yeah.
Why? You're turning.
In World War II, 2 tours of duty was about the max.
Max.
They knew that you'd come out a wreck if you did more than 2 tours.
Well, the thing about Grandpa,
He wouldn't even talk about it.
It took him a month. Was it a month to get home? When it finally.
Well, he was sick.
Well, right, but he also talked about, they didn't just you're gone, put you on a plane, and in 6 hours, 12 hours, you're home.
Yeah.
They had to take a boat ride, and the boat ride allowed you to kind of decompress a little bit, and you got to talk to everybody a little bit, and you got to.
Well, he came home on a stretcher, remember?
No, I didn't. I totally forgot about that part.
Oh, yeah. He came home on a stretcher, and that's
why he had the diabungi from India or wherever, China.
China rod or whatever the hell he had.
Anyway, 8 tours of duty.
Too much. Too much.
So I'm gonna.
PTDS or whatever that stuff.
I immediately tend to give this guy a pass.
No, I passed him too. Too many.
I mean, that doesn't excuse what happened, but you've ruined this guy already. So now you're going to ruin his life and his family's life. Let's look at it a little differently.
Yeah, I hope he's found not guilty, and if not, Trump pardons him.
Nike.
Oh, gosh. The kid, I saw the shirt yesterday, a Nike shirt, and it made me want to heave.
They were going to come out with a shoe celebrating the 4th of July. It was red, white, and blue shoe. On the back of the shoe was an American flag, a Betsy Ross flag, with the 13 stars mm-hmm. in a circular pattern. Nike story out of Wall Street Journal. Nike nixes Betsy Ross flag sneaker after Colin Kaepernick intervenes.
Well, I'm parsing my words here. I can't say what I want to say, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to let that one slide. I don't like it. I don't like Colin Kaepernick. And I don't like Nike.
I certainly don't like
any of them. They can all go somewhere.
This is another log on the fire. These corporations, again, we've talked about the corporations are against America, the ideal, everything that we stand for. Every we talk about July, on July 2nd, this is what comes down on this day that should be, the greatest
celebrated
the world. Not just America.
The world wants to come here.
The world should celebrate this day.
Yeah, the world wants to come here.
Right. Oh, but we're racist and we're terrible. Yeah. But yeah, everybody wants to come here.
Yeah.
I'm not making. Anyway, let me move on for it. So the Arizona governor wants to pull the Nike plant incentives over this reported situation with the Betsy Ross flag. And he makes a great point.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of celebrating American history, the week of our nation's independence, Nike has apparently decided that Betsy Ross is unworthy and has bowed to the current onslaught of political correctness and historical revisionism. It is a shameful retreat for the company.
Everybody should boycott them.
American businesses should be proud of our country's history, not abandoning it. Nike has made the decision, and we're now making ours. We're going to withdraw these benefits.
Love him. What's his name?
Ducey is his name. I think that's a great decision.
Great decision. Love him.
Oreo's making LGBT cookies. Trump says people fleeing New York for Texas over the NRA and the taxes. Devastating crop losses.
Devastating.
This is real. Buy some new manna.
Oh, you're not.
Or something. Or go to the store and buy some beans and rice. And
yeah.
Look, I'm telling you. Just buy something
else. All across the world.
Stay tuned. We'll be back. William Federer.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you're one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Our next guest is certainly one of our favorites. He is also a very important guest. I call him America's historian. We have America's pastor on, so let's have America's historian on. He's a little more modest than I am for him, but I love him. American Minute, of course he does. The Faith in History, broadcast nationally. He's authored over 20 books. He speaks, probably about 100 times a year. He is a best-selling author, and his book, America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, has sold over 500,000 copies. AmericanMinute.com is his website. It's certainly worthy of your time and effort to learn. William Federer, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Hey, great to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to start the interview. Of course, today is July 2nd, and a quote by John Adams. The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. That's what John Adams said about this day. Give us a little background, specifically what happened on this day, maybe what led up to it, the controversy, the forks in the road, how it could have went either way. Just give us a little background. July 2nd, 1776.
Right. So that was when the voice vote for independence was taken. July 4th is when the wording of the declaration was settled upon. And then actually they read it out loud on July 8th, and they ran a copy of it out to George Washington. He read it out loud to his troops July 9th. They got an engrossed copy. That's where they took all the scratch marks out and delete this and add this on August 2nd. And so beginning August 2nd is when all of the Continental delegates stood up, walked to the front, and added their signature. Because originally, on July 4th, there were only two signatures, John Hancock's and Charles Thompson, who was the Secretary of the Continental Congress. But it actually took 6 months for all of them to put their signatures on there. Why? Because we're fighting a war. A whole lot of them, as soon as they voted for independence, voted for the wording, they took off to go back to their colony to fight. And then there was also the you really weren't in too big of a hurry to put your name down, because as soon as you did, you were a target. And sure enough, the British got a copy of every one of those names, and they would go after them. and they would bribe people to betray him. You know, there's John Hart, you know, several where they would pull him out of their bed at nighttime and drag him and throw him in jail. Richard Stockton. And so, you know, 17 of them lost their fortunes. Their wives were put in prison. Their sons, a couple had their sons were prisoners of war. And they told them, if you'll take your name off the declaration, we'll let your son go. And they're like, I can't take my name off, and God help my son. Really serious. So when they put their name on there, it was declaring treason against the king. It would be like you coming out right now today saying that you were against the transgendered agenda and publicly say that.
I am.
You know, you would have the
I am
the
against
left-wing
it.
People. You'd have Facebook wanting to censor you. You would have, you know, and then it gets to the place where you're in China, where they have the social credits. And sure enough, you know, if you bring up Tiananmen Square or something, all of a sudden they'll bust into your house and arrest you. And so the common condition for the world is dictators controlling through fear. That's what really makes us appreciate America. What do I mean? One of my books is called Who is the King in America? I literally went through all of recorded human history from the invention of writing, Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley around 3000 BC. From that time till now, the records show that the most common form of government is a king. Nimrod Tower of Babel and 2,000 years of Egyptian pharaohs and King, you know, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and King, you know, Cyrus of Persia and, you know, Sennacherib of Assyria, and all the records show is kings and their conquests and 5,000 years of Chinese emperors and Indian Maharajas and, you know, then you have Roman emperors and then Attila the Hun and, you know, you go through the Muslim sultans and the Viking kings, and as the centuries go on, the kingdoms get bigger. Why? Because with military advancements, you can kill more people. Iron stronger than bronze, you know, phalanx spear, scimitar sword, stirrup for riding horses, gunpowder, you know, the composite bow for shooting arrows, the English longbow, corned gunpowder where they could, you know, make it three times more powerful. All these new military advancements are simply magnifying the fallen nature that's in the human heart that goes all the way back to Cain killing Abel with a stone. And so St. Augustine called it libido dominandi, the lust to dominate. And you put some babies in a playpen, one takes the rattle from the others. You put some kids on a playground, one's the bully hog and the ball. You put some junior high girls in a clique, and one of them is the diva. You put some people in the woods, one of them is the Indian chief. You put them in an inner city, one of them is a gang leader. And all a king is a glorified gang leader. It's a pyramid structure to society. If you are friends with the king, you're at the top. You're more equal. If you are not friends with the king, you are less equal. And if you're an enemy of the king, you're a slave or you're dead. It's called treason. And it just keeps repeating itself all around the world because this is the norm for human nature. And so the King of England was the most powerful king that planet Earth had ever seen. Sun never set on the British Empire. He had 13 million square miles, a half a billion people, all of India, a quarter of the world's population right there, Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, British Guyana, Canada, Jamaica, Barbados, Bermuda, and America. And America's founders decided they did not like this globalist king telling us what to do, appointing all the judges. You know, you didn't have equal justice before the law. The justice was, are you loyal to the king or not? You know, are you fitting in with the government agenda? Are you politically correct or not? And so the founders broke away and flipped it and made the people the king. It's a polarity change in the flow of power. Instead of top down, it's bottom up. And then in my book, I go through, where did these founders get these ideas that you could rule yourself without a king? Well, the New England pastors, not Virginia. Virginia had a king-run colony, and it was Anglican, where the king was the head of the church. But New England, what was that? Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Hampshire, you know, Rhode Island. These were pastors that fled persecution came to America with their little churches, and they would set up little communities, and their church members would come to them and say, "Pastor, how do we do the government thing?" And they would go into the Bible, and they would come up with what's called the congregational form of church government. And what did they quote from? The first 400 years when Israel came out of Egypt, before Israel got King Saul. So this was about 1400 BC. Israel comes out of Egypt. They come into the Promised Land, and for 400 years, Israel does not have a king. This is a complete anomaly. This is counter human nature to have a nation with millions of people and no king. And it was based on each person being taught the law. It's like everybody downloads a behavioral app for their iPhone. Instead of a GPS app telling you where to turn, it tells you how to act. Be nice to this person. Don't steal that. Don't lie. Right? And the Levites are the computer geeks that help you to download this app. Right? Press here and memorize this verse here. And so everybody's got this memorized law that the Levites were diligent to teach the kids. And then the big question comes, why would you follow it? What would motivate you to follow this internal moral? Ancient Israel introduces for all time the key ingredient. There is a God who is watching everyone. He wants you to be fair, and he's going to hold you accountable in the future. So you're about to steal. Nobody's around. You know you can get away with it. And then you think, God is watching me. He wants me to be fair. He's going to hold me accountable in the future. Maybe I should hesitate stealing. And it creates something in your head called a conscience. If everybody in the country really truly believes this, you can maintain complete order, safety, security. Women can go anywhere without fear with no police. You have maximum liberty and maximum security. And so if you think of it as a spectrum of power, one side's total government, the other side's no government. Total government, you get a dictator, he rules through fear, you do what he says or he kills you. The other side of the spectrum is no government. That would be anarchy, unless each person is taught the law. But why would you follow this law? Well, there's a God who is watching everyone, wants you to be fair, going to hold you accountable in the future. And so this is called the Hebrew Republic. It's the first 400 years when they come out of Egypt before they get King Saul. This is what these New England pastors in Connecticut, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and so forth look to as an example. And they actually taught Hebrew in Yale and Harvard. I mean, they were really into this. They were called Christian Hebraists. And one of them, it's Harvard President Samuel Langdon, gives an address to the New Hampshire Ratifying Convention. What's that? So we have a constitution written, but it needs to be ratified by 9 states. We had 8 that did, but New Hampshire's in line to be the 9th, but it's about to vote against it. And so this Samuel Langdon, Harvard president, gives him an address titled The Republic of the Israelites, an Example to the American States. Instead of the 12 tribes of Israel, we may substitute the 13 tribes of the, you know, the states of the American Union and see this application plainly. And he goes on and compares Washington to Joshua and everything. At the end of his speech, New Hampshire delegates vote. They are the 9th state. The U.S. Constitution goes into effect. Our U.S. Constitution went into effect after the sermon, The Republic of the Israelites, an example to the American states. America's founders looked back to ancient Israel as this premier example of a nation with millions of people and no king, based on each person being taught the law and accountable to God. Israel had – is this okay?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I'm in thought. I mean, if you want me to ask you a question to break it up, I will. But I'm just writing down notes as you're talking. Let me break in with a question. We hear today, seemingly everywhere in academia, this concept that America is not a Christian nation at all, and almost forgetting everything that you said. I'm aghast when I hear that. So if somebody tells you, well, America was never a Christian nation, what would you say to that?
State constitutions. In other words, I've read through every single state constitution. 9 of the original 13 states, their state constitution specifically says that all office holders had to be Protestant Christians. New Jersey had to be a Protestant Christian. Georgia had to be a Protestant Christian. South Carolina even goes on and says the Christian Protestant religion is the established religion of our state. Now, so 9, you had to be a Protestant. 3, in their state constitution, said all you had to do was be a Christian. Like Delaware said every office holder had to believe in God the Father, Jesus Christ, His only Son, the Holy Ghost, one God, bless forevermore. You think that's liberal? Yeah, that was really liberal because you could be a Catholic or a Protestant and say, yeah, I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Ben Franklin signed Pennsylvania's Constitution, 1776, in which says every office holder had to take a declaration of belief in God, the creator, governor of the universe, the rewarder of the good, the punisher of the wicked, and acknowledge the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. You think that was liberal, Franklin? Yeah, because you could be a Catholic or a Protestant and say, yeah, I believe the Bible's Old and New Testament are inspired. And so there was only one state that had zero religious requirements to hold state office. Rhode Island, founded by Baptists. They said that if the state required people to be Christian, you could have a non-Christian person saying they were Christian just to get elected, and that would be hypocritical. So just vote for the best Christian person you know. We're just not going to require. And so when these states were forming a brand new federal government, their one big fear was that the federal government would pick one denomination and make it the national one, which is what every other country in Europe did. England was Anglican. Scotland was Presbyterian. Holland was Dutch Reformed. Northern Germany and Sweden were Lutheran. Switzerland, Calvinist. You know, Italy, Spain, France, Austria, Poland, Ireland, Catholic. Greece was Greek Orthodox. Russia was Russian Orthodox. And then the Muslim countries, you had to be, you know, Muslim or the Sultan would chop your head off. It was one belief, one denomination per country. And so the big fear was that our brand new country was going to pick one denomination. They were talking about it. The Anglican switched to be calling Episcopal, which was the same structure, just get rid of the king. And so you had many states saying, hey, let's make the Episcopal the national denomination. Then you had maybe the Episcopal and the Congregational would sort of come together and form something. And so the states that were most in favor of a First Amendment were Massachusetts and Connecticut, New Hampshire. Why? Because they had established on their state level the Congregational Christian denomination. They didn't want a federal Walmart denomination coming in and putting out of business their local mom-and-pop denominations. So that was the big fear.
Let me summarize this a little bit, just because I think this is extremely, extremely important for our audience. Really, everybody, every American should get this. I'm going to summarize, and you just kind of correct me where I'm wrong. So basically, the First Amendment, you know, the Congress shall have no establishment, no law of religion. That meant that not that there couldn't be religion in the country, it's that the Congress, the United States Congress, couldn't establish it. The states certainly could and certainly had and did for many years after that. So the First Amendment is not talking about religion out of society or spiritual beliefs out of society. It's just saying Congress can have no power over religion. That's basically what they meant, was their intentions. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, yeah. Joseph Story, Supreme Court Justice, says the whole power over the subject of religion is left exclusively to state governments to be acted on according to their own state constitutions. So we got federal government, state government. I know that's a really hard concept for some of the leftist professors to understand, but the religion was under state government, not federal government. And the states were jealous over their denominations, and they didn't want one denomination sneaking in and making itself the federal denomination.
Okay. Clear on that. Let's go back to the specific states. So this idea that America wasn't a Christian nation, every state except Rhode Island, which kind of almost de facto did, but virtually every state in their constitution had it as a requirement. If you were going to be in government, you had to be some form of a Christian. You had to basically believe in God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost. Is it correct?
Yes, yes. And then at the time of the founding, 3 million people in America, 98% Protestant, 1% Catholic, 0.1% Jewish. Catholics were only allowed in 3 colonies, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and a little bit New York. And we even have letters from Catholic Bishop John Carroll, who founded Georgetown, saying that prior to the revolution, the Catholic faith had only penetrated, Pennsylvania and Maryland and all other states. You know, there were prohibitions. And I mean, they actually passed laws to disarm papists. There were some, Georgia said there's complete religious freedom in this state except for papists. Papal, that's Catholic, right? There was one in Maryland, the Anglicans took over for a while, and they passed a law that if a man dies and his widow married a Catholic, the state would take the children away from the family.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the Catholics were considering leaving Maryland and going to Louisiana territory, the French Catholic territory. But then the revolution starts, and, you had Charles Carroll, the only Catholic to sign the Declaration.
All right,
said, go ahead.
No. I was going to interject right there on that point about why were they so hard on Catholics? Is it because of what they saw happened in Europe? Is that why they didn't want any part of it?
Yes. Yeah. So, Europe, Christianity, you had, three centuries of the Roman emperors persecuting Christians, 10 major persecutions, throwing them to the lions, cutting out their tongues, burning the scriptures. Finally, Constantine, 313 AD, ends the persecution of Christians. That's great. Now you can come out of the catacombs, these caves where the Christians were hiding to have their church services. And then Constantine builds a big basilica, a big marble church. And that's nice. Now Christians are out of the cave. They can worship publicly. Then there's a doctrinal heresy that starts called Arianism. A guy named Arius was a bishop, and he said Jesus was a created being less than God. And he writes a catchy song. The Visigoths, who were a tribe that came into Rome, they converted to Arianism. It's now a church doctrinal conflict that because Constantine had made Christianity the de facto religion of the Roman Empire, this church split is having political splits. So Constantine orders and pays for all the bishops in the entire known world to come to Nicaea and settle it. They do. They write the Nicene Creed. And then there's another heresy, another council. They settle it. Another heresy, another council. So pretty soon you have what's called the government-approved Christian belief doctrine. And then you have Theodosius around 379 AD. He is a Christian Roman emperor. He decides to outlaw paganism. Now, you have to understand from his point of view, the pagans still had child sacrifice. They still had temple prostitutes. They still had divination where they would cut open an animal and look at its gizzards and try to predict the future, you know.
Sounds like a Saturday night in New York City. Sounds like a Saturday night in New York City now.
Yeah, yeah. But these Romans actually had, you know, whole people who were experts at discerning a liver. What is this? Anyway, so here the exposure of unwanted infants. This is where the pagan Roman practice was: the mother would bear the child, lay it at the father's feet. If the father picked it up and liked it, the mother got to keep it. If the father didn't like it or thought they couldn't afford it, and he didn't pick it up, the mother would have to put the baby in a basket and set it outside and let it be exposed to the elements, and the baby would die. And so, I mean, this is how Rome started. Romulus and Remus were what? They were two boys that were put outside in the woods to die, but their legend is that a wolf came by and nursed them. And so that's the beginning of Rome. And then there's the stories that we have, you know, of a knock at the door. And the elderly couple comes to the door, and there on the doorstep is a baby in a basket, right? Well, those stories came from the Romans because they would have this. It was their version of abortion. And so here Theodosius says, we're going to outlaw exposure of unwanted. He outlawed the Olympics. Like, why would he do that? Well, they ran them naked. The word gym is Greek for naked. Gymnasium was a bunch of naked men. Anyway, wasn't the most moral of things. So Theodosius, when he outlaws paganism, you have all these pagans that say, well, I guess we got to go to this marble church. And they flood in and they say, okay, they raise their hand and say, yeah, I believe the new doctrine. And so within 100 years, you go from Christians meeting in these small little catacombs, risking their life for their faith and their brothers and sisters, being thrown to the lions, two, now you can worship publicly and you got this nice marble church. Two, a whole bunch of these pagans flooding in and they have not had any conversion experience. They just basically, and so you see this, this happen. But now that you have, a state approved doctrine, you have, you know, Attila the Hun comes through and wipes out Western, you know, Europe. Then you have the 6th century Islam comes through and conquers Eastern, the Roman Empire, and the, what, the Middle Ages. You had only the clergy could read, common people couldn't read, and, you know, you're not really sure what they understood and what they didn't understand. But then the Muslims invade Greece. And the Greeks cry for the West to help. They send help. It's called the Crusades. But the Muslims continue to invade, conquer Constantinople, cut off the land routes to India. That's when Christopher Columbus looks for a sea route to India. Muslims continue to conquer Greece, and now the Greek scholars are fleeing. Their churches are being destroyed. Their graves are being destroyed. These Greek scholars flee to Europe, and what do they carry under their arms but these dusty old Greek New Testaments? And so now, for the first time in over 1,000 years, Western Europeans can read the New Testament in the original language. And this lays the foundation for the Reformation.
There's the music. Hold right there. William Federer, AmericanMinute.com. www.AmericanMinute.com. Highly recommended. William, it's a pleasure to be with you. Stay tuned. On the other side, we'll continue more with this great discussion. ThePowerHour.com. So good to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. Today's a special day, July 2nd.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominate.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit carnivora.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com